It is Sunday the 26th of November and this is the Cat's Whiskers podcast. Good evening, whenever it is that you are listening, you fine folks. Thank you very much for tuning in once again. So, we don't do episode titles anymore because it just hurts our brain too much. However, I would like to give this an honorary title of and to channel my inner geek and my inner firefight of Big Damn Heroes, quite frankly. So tonight saw the return to competitive action of the Nottingham Panthers. Around the table tonight, we have Adam Reddish.
Hello, everyone.
We have Aunt Marie-Jeanne.
Good evening, or good afternoon, or good morning, or good night, whatever.
I mean, I just did that.
Yeah. I just realised when you did that one after I said good evening, but hey, I mean, we could stop this and record again if we wanted to.
Yeah, no, but I'm not going to do that because that's effort for me. Around the table, we have podcast alumni in the shape of Paul Barnes.
Hello, that's what we have to say, just hello.
Yeah, I know. I realised.
Yeah, alumni.
Even that can prove difficult at times.
It can for you, yeah.
Legends.
And also, as you may have probably just heard and recognised, another former podcast alumni, John O'Bullard.
From the Panthers post-game and pre-game podcast.
I mean, yeah, you just like to get yourself around a bit, don't you, pal? We also have Nick as our...
cheerleader.
Cheerleader, captive audience, delete as applicable. Hello, Nick.
Hello.
He's our Euro hockey specialist.
Yes. Yeah, I mean, if we ever get onto one of those podcasts, Nick, you're up. You are up. So, gentlemen, so tonight was... I mean, I'm just going to start off by saying that going into this game tonight, when I arrived at the arena, I said this to several people, it didn't really matter what the result was in the grand scheme of things. A win would have been a lovely bonus, but those guys are back on the ice, they are competing, and for that, they deserve the utmost respect. And I think they got it. That was a bumper Sunday crowd. That was a performance where every single player gave every single ounce of everything that they had. There's not one player that we can say is slacked off. There was no, you know, but you could tell by the third period they were absolutely spent.
Yeah,
and they'd given it all.
Especially, we looked, they were blowing a bit. You said it perfect. They gave everything. The crowd reacted to it. I think on another day, if some of the calls that should have been given in my eyes had gone our way, it would have been a different result. My only disappointment from today was Besko was dropping everything and we just didn't seem to pick up on that. Was that you just basically, that wasn't the Besko that we normally see, where he's catching everything and he's sublime and what have you. He was dropping everything and we just didn't capitalise on that for me. There was too many sort of fancy passes rather than maybe just take the simple route, take the shot, look for the rebound. But other than that, the effort, 120% tonight. Phenomenal, and I was absolutely gutted that there was neither. To be fair, Belfast played really well as well, and they were nothing like the team that I've heard about that they've seen over the last few weeks. Neither team, for me, deserved to go out of there with nothing tonight. I think an overtime or a penalty shot game would have been fair, but it is what it is. Our first game back, we pick up, we go again next week.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, there was certainly a whatever it takes attitude from both teams, Adam. Did you feel that as well?
Yeah, I thought it was a really good game. I thought both sides, you know, gave everything, you know, left nothing out there. I think Belfast are obviously coming at it from different reasons because they're desperate to try and, you know, get into a bit of an up form in terms of their performance, you know, because they've been through some lean times of late, and you know, we're sort of just venturing back out in terms of getting into the competitiveness of hockey again. So, you know, it was a strange game in that sense, because you know, Belfast were skating hard. I thought that obviously they're depleted at the minute, they've got a number of injuries. We're not sort of playing with the full roster obviously at the minute, so, but I thought both sides really did go at it. Made for a bit of an entertaining game. I know the quality wasn't always there. You know, there was, I think, you know, a lot of endeavour from both sides. You know, and there was a bit of disjointed play. But sometimes, you know, when the play is disjointed, it does sort of contribute to a better game, because mistakes, you know, lead to excitement. So, but obviously, you know, we're a little rusty competitively. That's to be expected. You know, like you and Ante both said, the result is almost immaterial tonight. It's about just, you know, making our way back, taking those first few steps, and just sort of remembering what, you know, competitive hockey's like. And I saw a lot of positives out there tonight for us, just talking about Panthers. And, you know, I'm confident going forwards that, you know, we'll get there. You know, we'll get back into things, and we'll start picking up points again real soon.
Yeah, I think we're going to see some good hockey. I mean, despite the fact that I think we all just, like we've all said, the result was immaterial. Paul, I think we've all come around this table and said, and all sort of said, that following that performance, actually, we're really disappointed, because it you know, there was potential for Panthers to actually win.
Yeah, I think the potential was there. There were 2-3 times when we missed absolute sitters. Once where we, you know, we needed to hit the net, but just hit the boards at the back. It's just sharpness. We've got to treat
that
this.
Chance where Betteridge was all alone,
and the pass was just like half an inch behind him. Yeah. And that was short-handed as well. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you know, you've got to almost treat tonight as the first game after pre-season. Mm. They're still getting used to each other. They've still got to get back into the groove with each other. Some of the decisions that they've made need to be improved on. And the referees need to improve, frankly, but that's
really precisely relevant. He's gone there.
I mentioned it. You were very diplomatic.
Basically using the privilege of being a guest on the show here to like drop the...
I've just turned up to cause trouble like normal. Yeah.
Cause trouble and plug your book. Yeah, we'll come to that later. Jono, Eye in the Sky. How did you find tonight?
Yeah, they left everything out on the ice, didn't they? They
say something different to what you said in the post game podcast, by the way.
It's literally 30 minutes since I did that. You know,
let the hand break off.
it was a good performance. There was bits where you could tell they'd not played for a month, and you know that sharpness is going to take a few games to come back, but. One of the things we also said in the podcast, available on all good podcast providers, is...
So hang on, Paul's here to plug his book, you're here to plug your podcast.
Well, it's not mine.
On your old podcast.
Accessory.
To what?
I don't know, I'm sure we'll find out as we go along.
It's like one of them TV shows where somebody's watching TV who's watching somebody watching TV.
Goggle pod.
Yeah, I am.
Anyway, where was I?
I don't know. You'll just have to pick it up from where you thought you left off.
Yeah, you know, the sharpness is going to take a few games to come back. But I think the thing is, while we've been away, is... results have sort of gone our way, haven't they? So
we're eighth, but we're only.
I think if the result in Guildford, if Guildford beat Sheffield, which is still going on, I think we'll only be
three-two Sheffield.
Yeah, see, I would like to thank the rest of the league for, you know, being nice and sharing the points out while we've been away. It was very nice of them.
It's the point being that with the games in hand, I think if we win half of the games in hand we've got, we go top or joint top at the same number of games.
So. Which just speaks to the position we left ourselves in.
You know, we're in a league where there's no easy games anymore, isn't it? Gone are the days where you've got
bless them, Hull and Edinburgh, who turn up with, and Basingstoke, who turn up with 10 skaters, and you can probably guaranteed, you know, 6 points from there.
Well, I don't know. Even in the league winning year, we still lost to Edinburgh midweek. Well, let's not forget.
We lost to Newcastle, who had like literally 7 skaters, I think. But like won Danny Stewart Coach of the Year trademark. But anyway, sorry, I interrupted you.
Move on.
Yeah. Well. I'll tell you what, well, it does sort of something, and I can't remember who said it, but about the gaps in the roster that we've got. We did actually have a question relating to that on the artist formerly known as Twitter.
Do we have the depth in numbers going forward to be competitive after the unfortunate recent events?
So,
to be fair, it's a question we were asking before this all happened because of the injury to Tetlow.
Yes, so. Well, the injury to Tetlow, and I appreciate that I'm not going to come to Jono on this, but Zane McKenzie.
Why not?
I mean, we've got a GB roster spot, and we are not using him. I don't get it. I don't understand. Anybody?
Well, at the end of the day, it's ridiculous. We're in a deal where if Telford need him, Telford get him. It's just ridiculous.
Telford are very short at the moment. They're incredibly short.
Now, I would just like to return to something I said last season about Archie Hazeldine. I'm sorry. I don't care about other teams' fortunes. If we've got somebody on our roster, I want him on our game sheet.
We don't know whether there's been discussions between the Panthers and Telford to say, well, you know, where is Zane going to be best this weekend? You know, if he's in Telford, he might have picked up, you know, 13, 14 minutes of ice time tonight, you know, which in the long term will probably benefit him. What would he have got at the Panthers? You know, he might have got 2 or 3 shifts on the fourth line. You know, in a tight game as well against Belfast, would the coaching staff have entrusted him with, you know, a lot of ice time? Probably not. So I know what you mean. I know what you're saying in terms of, yeah, we should have like primacy over him, but there might be an element of thinking about his development.
Oh, hello. A voice from the floor. Go on, Nick. Bring it in.
Well, I can understand why you're saying the coaching staff might not have trusted him, but what we needed in the last 10 minutes was just fresh legs. Yeah. So you could bring anybody on, well, not just anybody, but bring somebody That's true. With fresh legs and a bit of pace. This would have been the moment, I think, to have a youngster just to inject some energy.
Yeah, agree with that.
Sorry, Adam.
Nick made a perfectly valid point there. You know, you could see that both teams were physically tiring. You know, Belfast obviously played last night and they're short-staffed. We're obviously traveled over this morning. We're obviously leggy because, you know, we've not been competitive for a few weeks. Yeah, I mean, you know, someone with a bit of speed, you know, just to sort of stretch the ice a little bit, that would have been helpful. But, you know,
I mean, actually playing the game will stand us in good stead because, you know, we're in a situation where we had the Manchester game, which wasn't really that much of a game, really, one way or another. It was there for different things.
Yeah.
But, you know, we've not got the match. We've got to get the match fitness back and get that going again.
It's like pre-season all over again.
We said it on the way out, me and you, Adam, didn't we, as we were walking down. That's the sort of game that we needed to get back up, I think, because it was sticky. There was pace. There were some dodgy calls or not calls. And I think that sort of game, yes, we've lost tonight and I'm gutted, especially to them. But, you know, the effort that they put in, they didn't deserve to come out with nothing. But that sort of game will put him in better stead going ahead now for the rest of the season.
Don't you think, though, as a fan, that it feels so nice to feel gutted after a game? You know, after everything that's happened in the last few weeks? Because I know, speaking personally, I felt like I was a little bit emotionless after what's happened. You know, almost like the hockey, the points that you get from winning a game were almost, you know, immaterial, didn't really matter.
It's just getting in there and getting the game under a belt.
But tonight felt like a really big step forward for me personally because of how upset I've left that rink. You know, I wanted us to win. I felt that, you know, things were a little bit unjust in certain aspects in terms of some of the missed calls. So I'm glad that, you know, my appetite for competitive hockey is sort of slowly coming back again, because, you know, if that game was last week or maybe the week before, I would have walked out that rink probably without the same emotions that I've walked out the rink with tonight.
Well, I think the other thing to consider as well is the game itself has given us all the emotion. You know,
that's what I was trying to say, but somewhat clumsily.
So it's nice that, you know, we've had a game that's brought us back into, you know, the normal hockey feel.
The noise at times in that rink tonight was just brilliant.
But
I mean, that last when the calls weren't going our way in the third, and the crowd got on the referee's back, and then obviously Belfast score an empty net, and you think, oh God, that's it, we're done. But then straight away we go back and we make it 3-2. The crowd are on the edge of the seats again. You've got 90 seconds. Could you do it? Could you not? Unfortunately, we just didn't have enough left in the tank to do so. It was, and like you've already touched on, Tina, that was a really good crowd for a Sunday, which was pleasing to see.
Yeah, it was good.
After, you know, the sellout last week, attendances haven't been great the last season and a half, two seasons. So it's nice to see that people have started to return potentially, and, you know, obviously it is going to cost people money to come down, you know, with financial crisis and everything that we're in, but I think get down and support the team
at this point. I think that's what it is, isn't it? It is just, you know, the team needed the fan base, and the fan base have turned up, so, you know, we're doing our bit.
I think they've paid it back as well, though, haven't they? Because, yes, the team needed, you know, the support and everything from all the fans, but the performance they put out today and, you know, things that have been said over the last few weeks and stuff, I think we've needed that as well. We're certainly at Kevin Moore's... We talked about Kevin Moore's speech at the last podcast.
Oh, my God. I mean, Kevin Moore.
And then he was
I would still... Yes, I have checked. I would still follow that man into war.
Yeah, his interview on Radio Nottingham. Oh. I mean, I've been away all week, so that's why I wanted the game last week. But even I stopped. It was my cooking day, and I was like, yeah, you're going to have to wait for 20 minutes while I listen to this. And I just sat there and listened to it with a big cheesy grin on my face. That guy can just...
Yeah.
He would get you to do things, wouldn't he? He would get you to do things that you didn't think you could do. That didn't come out right, but you know what I'm...
No, and I'm not editing it out either. I'm not editing it. Right, I'm going to move swiftly on. I'm sure that won't be the last time we talk about Kevin Moore over the course of the rest of this podcast.
He speaks really well.
Yes, he does. So while we're still on the subject of depth, we have added a body. When it was confirmed that Victor Bjorklund is not going to return, and we absolutely wish him all the best. We grieve and recover in different ways, and, you know, if that's what Victor feels he needs to do, absolutely we should wholeheartedly support him in that. And it would be nice if he ever felt he wanted to return, because I thought he was a lovely player to watch.
Just like an appearance, you know, we haven't done it for a while, have we? Brought ex-players out at the start of the game, or, you know, to do like puck drops and stuff. If he ever felt he wanted to come in, and it'd be nice, I'd like to think that maybe the club would say, yeah, of course you can, and then the fans would be able to give him a good, you know, a proper send-off. And
It would be nice. But just to sort of get back onto the point, so Panthers wasted no time in confirming a bit of a marquee signing in Simone Dupré. Now...
Simone Dupré.
Oh, my good Lord.
Another bleeding penguin, though, isn't he?
I don't care where he's come from, quite frankly. He's a body that we needed. He is a body with experience. And I think he's been... I think tonight he brought a certain amount of level-headedness to the defence. Jono, I can see you waving at me, so, OK, go.
Jonathan Dupré.
My word, you've just corrected me. I'm not editing that out either.
Jonathan Paraday, in his post-game interview, said that he was actually sick yesterday. Simone Dupré had still did a morning skate, went past fit for the game, and played the game after being ill yesterday. So, superhuman effort from our new defenseman, frankly. But You look at.
It looks like he can pick a pass.
Oh, but, wow.
Well, that guy's got vision.
Well,
and he's not just here to like shore up the back or add a bit of muscle. That he looks like he can play.
Well, you don't play all them games in the NHL if you can't play. But it was a great pass. I just asked Dedrick Ember about that because that was a lovely pass to, and a lovely finish as well. But yeah, to get a player of that pedigree. But again, don't expect miracles to start with. He's not played since March, April last year. You know, he's another one who needs to get back up to match fitness. So,
well, I mean, that kind of benefits him coming into the team as they are. Because our team, because the Panthers team, as it is, are themselves getting up to match fitness. So they can bring Simone along with them. And
it might take him a few more games.
Yeah.
I got to say, his resume is absolutely incredible, you know, for this league. You know, you look at his CV, absolutely stellar.
It's more like a sort of pre-COVID signing that we would expect, isn't it? Because we've had players of that calibre before, but COVID just absolutely decimated us.
But, I mean, I think that his sort of experience and leadership might help the locker room because, you know, he's come in at a really interesting, you know, with exclamation mark times. And, you know, it's, I think, going to be good to have like a fresh voice in the locker room at the minute. You know, someone that's been there, done that, got the T-shirt, you know, played at the highest level, you know, not once or twice either, you know, quite a lot of appearances. And I think that over the course of the season, that's going to stand us in really good stead because there'll be guys that, you know, struggle completely understandably. And, you know, his experience, albeit, you know, he's probably never experienced anything like that directly himself. You know, the fact that he's been around sort of like high calibre players is going to really, really benefit us. And, you know, over the next few weeks, like Ant says, it's not going to sort of happen for him overnight. He needs to get up to speed. He needs to learn the systems. He needs to, you know, get on the right wavelength with all the other players. But, you know, when that happens, I think we've got ourselves a serious player there.
Sorry, Nick, you wanted to add something?
And I think also that our other players have to learn. There was a couple of times when he was in possession of the puck and he was having to tell them where to skate to. So they're going to have to learn to play with him as well. And they're going to have to up their game to justify his ability.
Yeah. And that just sort of speaks to his experience, doesn't it? He's going to have that vision that perhaps, you know, most of the other players won't have because he's played at that, you know, that higher level. So, just want to briefly touch on last week's game. Once again, much, much respect and much kudos to the Manchester Storm for allowing that to happen. Absolutely fantastic spirit that the game was played in. And it allowed Panthers to get back onto the ice in a no-pressure situation. Because there was still, probably at that point, there was still a possibility that there would have been some guys who just weren't ready. But you know, the guys who are skating now, who were in the game tonight, they've been afforded that opportunity to find out for themselves, and it was great. And what we have, you know, something that we, you know, that Ant specifically said before we started recording, the Nottingham Panthers have not put a foot wrong in this unprecedented situation. Everything has been handled with the utmost sensitivity, professionalism, and just generally doing the right thing without actually knowing what the right thing was. Because how can you? And, you know, I'm going to talk about him again. Kevin Moore has emerged as a sort of spokesman for the team. And he's doing a damn fine job. Carl Neal took the mic on the ice after the game. He didn't have to do that. And thanked the fans. And it was brilliant. And I could not have been more proud to be in that arena last week. I was so emotional, I have to say.
Touch on that, because obviously I wasn't there. Thanks to my mates who allowed me to step away from what we were doing and put the webcast on the YouTube, on the telly. And now he's here, I can say it to him in person. God damn, man, those words that you must have written, rewritten, rewritten probably 1,000 times to start that webcast. You got it perfect, mate. And I know from speaking to you before, you know, you were a bit worried about how what you were going to do, what you were going to say and everything. You did yourself proud, you did the club proud. The way, and that's just yet another notch of the way the Panthers have dealt with this. Unfortunately, the webcast cut out just as Steph was about to start his speech and came back just as after they announced that they were retiring his shirt. But yeah, well done, pal. Proud of you, and thank you.
No, thank you. I wrote it in one draft, and I
changed it,
and I said.
And I,
and I said, I did. I sent it to a few people and said, "What do you think of this?" And a couple of, and I made a couple of very minor changes. I swapped a paragraph around, but apart from that, it was pretty much as I've written it first off, which surprised me because I thought I was going to do it about 10 times before I rewrote it. But no, it just. Yeah, it was hard. It was hard to write, and it was hard to know what to write and what to say. But I thought I have to write it down. I wanted to say something without writing anything down, but I wouldn't have remembered, and I probably would have got muddled up and not said the right thing. So
yeah,
it was tough. But as soon as the puck dropped for the game, I was back into commentator mode, and
yeah, it was a bit like that. Like when we're in Scotland and we went to the Dundee Clan game, and I was a little bit ahead of everybody getting into the rink rather than like lagging about 10 minutes behind. I walked in, I like scanned my ticket, and I had a bit of a wobble when I first saw the ice. The staff, by the way, with big shout out to the Dundee staff and everything, that their accommodation was fantastic, what they did for all the Panthers fans. But 2 minutes into the game, Toby Craig makes a call that I disagreed with, should we say. and it was almost like we were back to normal. We just weren't watching a Panthers game. So yeah, it was, I get where you're coming from there with the, you're back into the swing of things and stuff like that. And it will, I think everybody's going to have moments where we're all going to stumble a little bit. But we, tonight again was the next step forward.
Yeah, I mean, I got to say, I just absolutely echo what Ant said about Jono's contribution to last weekend. I thought it was absolutely faultless. But even if you'd sort of like misspoke a little bit, I think people would have cut you a lot of slack given the emotions that were clearly in play last week. But I just want to add my own sort of voice really to how well the club and the organisation have done things since the dreadful night, and they haven't put a foot wrong. They've got everything absolutely perfect, and you've got to give them so much credit because this is unprecedented, absolutely unprecedented, and you just don't know how anyone's going to react in these circumstances. And with everybody hurting so badly and emotions running so high, It would have been easy for the club maybe to have misjudged a few things, but they haven't. They've judged the mood of the fan base absolutely perfectly to a T. And, there's been times in the last few years where, as a long-term fan, I thought, can I sort of like keep carrying on with the Panthers? But even though the events have been tragic in the last few weeks, I think what's happened since has sort of like reaffirmed my love not only of ice hockey but also of the club that I've supported for so long. So, to everybody at the club, they've been through awful, awful, awful times, and I wouldn't have wished it on them at all. But we're all on the same sort of path together, and I think everyone's got each other's back, fans, staff, players, and we'll all pull through. It won't be easy, and it's going to take a long time. It will take others, maybe longer than some people. But
we're all supporting each other. But I thought Manchester last week were absolutely faultless. To a man, you know, the whole organisation can look at themselves with so much dignity and pride. You know, they like I said on X, formerly known as Twitter, I think Manchester were brilliant last week. You know, they, in some ways, you know, they are one of the winners of this season. They are one of the winners because...
Well, they didn't have to do it.
They helped Sheffield with their first game back, and they helped us with our first game back. And, you know, it's almost like feel a bit emotional talking about it, but, you know, Manchester's organisation, you know, Ryan Finnerty, everybody else up there in Manchester, you know, you're welcome in Nottingham any time, and I'm sure that if any of you came down here into this particular pub that we're sat in now recording this, there'd be no shortage of people to buy you a drink.
Well, I don't know. I mean, the amount of times I've shouted obscenities at Ryan Finnerty while he's been... Well, he was the Storm coach. I'm not sure he'd accept it from me, to be honest.
Well, he employed me, so I probably got him.
There's no sense of taste there.
No, okay. So, going forward, just something to consider, that we're still a body down. It almost seems like the elephant in the room, to be honest.
Two.
Well, I know we're two, but I mean Tetlow is you know kind of down. We're an import down. Okay, I will rephrase that. We are an import down.
We can't play a full strength squad at the moment.
No.
Because we refuse to play McKenzie.
Yes.
And when we you know, obviously we need an import in as well. So.
I mean, I refuse to believe.
Hawkins and Hazeldine aren't getting much ice time in Coventry. So.
Oh, they are welcome back in Nottingham any time, as far as I'm concerned. But with the speed at which the Panthers acted, because you have to imagine that the conversations were going on with Bjorkum early on. The speed at which the Panthers organisation reacted to that, you have to think that they're going to continue that sort of momentum. So I'm... Jono's been very tight-lipped. He's been very good, Omar, Chris, etc. He's not giving much away. He's tethered.
Yeah, he's got to the edge of the table.
He's got a bit of a poker face going on right now. But you have to imagine that the Panthers organisation are not going to let the momentum slip. So, what do we need? I mean, personally.
Sure.
Yeah, but well, personally, what I'm going to throw in there, we need somebody who can win a bloody face off.
Tonight has been a bit of an exception. It's one thing we picked up on, you know, in our not the last podcast, but the podcast before, was our face off stats aren't great, or you know, you can tell when you're watching the game.
Yeah.
But.
Tonight seems like a distinct improvement. Yes.
But yes, I agree.
Yeah.
You know, somebody can win a face off and score some goals. You know.
Yeah, most definitely.
Ooh. Come back, Matthew Myers.
Well, no.
Somebody can win a face off and score some goals.
I mean, look, you can't have everything you want in life. It is interesting actually, because Matthew Myers was in the top 10 of face offs pretty much every week last season. So you know, that is definitely a person that we miss. Definitely a person that we miss.
I think Matthew's enjoying the French lifestyle at the moment.
Well, I mean, have Van Will travel? I think he's kind of where he's at, isn't he? Bless him. I mean, it's...
Sorry, me and Paul are trying to sort of like practice our rusty French around this side of the table and failing.
Yeah, don't let anybody... Please, please, don't let Jonathan Paraday listen to this podcast at this point. Just skip over that last couple
of seconds. Well, I want to see Jono conduct a post-match interview with him in French before the end of the season.
I'd have to learn French to start.
Well, there you are.
That's your homework, Jono.
I can teach you a few phrases.
Yeah, no.
Oh, no, I don't think we want that.
No, not ones that I could use in... I mean, I know there's a... Voici la peau, voici la compagnie. Voici le général de Gaulle.
J'aime aller à la Plage.
That's funny enough.
Here we go.
Chris Wadley.
Actually, I did introduce...
That's Spanish.
I did introduce... When I first met him, I did introduce myself to him in French.
Je m'appelle.
And after that, I was done. Yeah. I'm sorry, I've got nothing more after.
Right, I could feel us descending into...
Bonjour, je m'appelle Jonathan Boulard. Je voudrais un bière. Et tu?
No, anyway, I can feel this is sort of descending into chaos now. So, and I'm not sure if this is going to restore any sanity, but Paul Baum, you've written a book. Do you want to tell us about that?
It's not going to restore any sanity. No. basically, after, what, nearly 3 years...
Yes, it's not AI written. There's no AI involved in the writing of this book. It is an actual book that somebody, a human being...
Not just somebody, Paul Baum.
Yes, it's not much artificial intelligence. There's very little intelligence in it at all. Basically, it's a day-by-day guide, or list, really, to everything the Panthers have done, every game they've played, every sort of new signing, all that sort of stuff, any weird stuff that's happened. And it's just with the proofreaders now, should be done in about a week, and then it'll be prepared and available on Amazon.
Marvellous. So,
do we get a free signed copy?
I'll sign it for you if you buy one. Yeah.
And don't forget the Twitter tasters as well.
Basically, if you follow me on Twitter, if you don't, why don't you? It's at not Mr. Baum.
That's it.
I nearly said .com, but you know, don't need that. There are tasters from every day. So you've got a taster that, amongst other things, involves Curtis Bowen, Aaron Kane and Greg Haddon potentially being banned. Give me a follow and you'll find out how that finishes tomorrow. And so basically, you know, the various bits and pieces in there. Some of the stranger bits that have happened.
Okay. That will be available very soon, as soon as the proofreaders have done their thing.
We will re-X. What do they call it nowadays?
Twitter.
The artist formerly known as Twitter.
It's not a retweet anymore, though, is it?
It's a repost.
Okay. We will repost the sugar out of that when you get it, and you know, publicise it all over socials and stuff. So,
yeah,
a lot of hard work's gone into this. I know how long it's taken Paul to write this.
Yes.
I will be picking up a copy anyway.
Yes, I think we'll all be picking up a copy.
I thought you were getting a free one, Ant.
No, he said no.
No. He said no.
I said I'll sign it if he buys it.
Right, so we'll just quickly turn our attention to, because we can, next week's games. Cardiff away, Dundee at home. So, no easy games. Thankfully.
There aren't easy games anymore.
No, there are no easy games anymore. Dundee almost, you know, doing a Guildford-esque shake-up of things yesterday by almost going top of the table and being foiled by current wooden spoon
owners. They were
top owners.
Of the table for 5 minutes.
Wow. I mean, 5 minutes.
Depends when the 5 minutes are, doesn't it?
Oh, dear. So...
And there we go.
It's not
just that. I mean, we've got Belfast away and Coventry away the following weekend as well. This is a horrible run of games going into Christmas.
I mean, and when we talk about Christmas, obviously, then we get into the in inverted commas Christmas classic with our
Sheffield.
yeah, also known in recent times as Adam's so distinctly puts two defeats to Sheffield. But it's nice that we can talk about these games. You know we've got these games to get excited about. I say excited with bated breath.
We've got normality. We're sort of getting back to normality. And if we go the way we did tonight, we build and improve on that. Then that's where we're going. The trajectory has got to be upwards.
Yeah, and I think every team is having, you know, sort of peaks and troughs at the moment.
Yeah, we've had our troughs, and now we've got to have the peaks.
Surely. So, it's nice that we are getting excited about games. It's nice that we are we're able to talk about games. I mean, I don't know what we'd talk about if there weren't any games. You know, so it's a little bit odd doing a podcast if your team's not playing. But you know, we don't have to consider that option because, yeah, it's all happening. It's great. You know, love it.
Adam wanted to do a podcast on his Spoons playing. I'm sure we could get a podcast going on for Paul Radford's Weatherspoons journeys. So, you know.
You get a podcast about Spoons drinking.
Well,
or Spoons breakfast.
not after Friday night, we can't.
Well, no.
Jousting in Premier Inns, we could do a podcast on that. Maybe.
Yeah.
But that never happened. Unfortunately, you was out when I knocked on the door.
And I have a video to prove it.
And that story is going to stay exactly where it should.
We're at two different hotels, so we can't even do that.
Oh, my word.
We're on our way.
Anyway, jousting stories aside, we are able to talk about hockey. We're able to get excited about the upcoming games. We are able to continue to podcast, and we are going to do that at appropriate points.
Adam and I are going down to Cardiff next week, so yep. If you see us, give us a hello.
So that's quite cheeky, isn't it, to ask people to buy us a drink?
I mean,
just
look,
say
right?
Say hello there. Just say hello.
If you don't ask, you don't get. You don't, yeah. Honestly. So I think we've sort of come to a natural stopping point, but you lot have descended into chaos. So I'm just going to I'm just going to let everybody say goodbye. So thank you very much for listening. We will be back at an appropriate point. I would imagine before Christmas, but we shall keep you informed. So thank you very much again, as I say, for listening. So it's cheerio from us. Cheerio, Nick.
Cheerio for everybody.
From Jono.
Cheerio and buy Paul's book.
Paul.
Cheerio and buy my book.
And from Ant.
See, I was going to say that, but now I'm not going to. But, you know, cheerio, and I hope you enjoy Paul's book once you bought it.
And I've signed it for you.
Yeah, it's very, very presumptuous. And Adam.
Cheerio and buy two copies of Paul. Yes.
And it's cheerio from me. We'll see you next time.